of Unreal 30.
Well, you just have to shut the doors, lock the doors, and that was it. You just go to work, go to the bank, whatever. Anyway, when Ali and I came back after the bank was shut, and we had 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 10 at night, depending on what time your van was up, somebody broke into our room and pinched about 40,000 lira.
What was that in English money?
Well, it was 40,000 lira at 1,800 to the pound. It's a few pounds.
So it was a few quid, yeah.
Mm. And we didn't report it. We didn't tell anybody. So we'd been doing, me and Harry, and it belonged to Steve as well, we were saving enough money to spend because we was expecting another trip into Austria. And this was going to be for buying wine and sort of stockings and whatnot.
Now, who was Harry? Who was, do you remember what opinion of him?
I can't think of Steve's last name either.
Were they southerners or northerners? Or?
Harry come from Birmingham and Steve was a southerner.
And what about your officer? You seem to be on first name terms with him.
Jimmy Smith. Oh, he was with all the officers.
Now, when you've in your wartime army days.
Well, it never happened.
So was that a different style of...
Well, yeah, because we went out drinking together.
And was that not frowned on by the authorities?
No, not on Jimmy. Jimmy Smith, he was there for a purpose, and he had a Humber snipe. And he was only a captain. He had a Humber snipe, which he used to drive into Switzerland. Him and Harry often went to Switzerland for a weekend because he was courting a Swiss girl and he married her. If the captain decided he was going to Austria, he was going to Humber snipe. We had a 1500 weight pickup, we had a 3-ton truck, and if he wanted any extra transport, all he did was ring up the transport department and say, I want, can I have so and so? We had an experience with how Smithy was powerful. We'd had Alexander had been in charge in Trieste at that time, and then he was replaced with General Sir John Harding. And General Harding was a bit of a straight laced sort of a bloke, and his wife was with him, and they lived in the White House in Trieste. It's a big house. And he came into the first time. If any officer came into the bank, we were behind the, just a bank window. We was in a, it was a proper bank. Me and Sergeant Smith would be set this side of the counter. We didn't serve at the bar. We didn't serve at the counter. We weren't tellers. We were just the bookmakers, the bookkeepers. We never saluted an officer. If we'd have saluted a bloody officer, we should have been up and down all day. Anyway, this particular day, Harding came in, and he played out because we didn't salute him. So Jimmy had to stand up, and we had to put our hats on and salute him, so which we did. And he wanted this treatment every time he came. But the rules were that an officer could only change 3 cheques per month, and they must be within a certain... A lieutenant could only, it was based on his actual pay, as how much he could charge. Because they were drawn on banks in England. We weren't drawn on the army banks. They were drawn on banks in England, Barclays or whatever. And Arden come in, there's Monday morning, change the check for him. The following week he come in, change the check for him. The third week he come in, change the check, all right, no trouble, they all saluted him. The fourth week he came in and Jim looked at his cheque and he said, officer, he said, what do you mean, officer, sorry, man? He said, I'm awfully sorry, sir, I can't change you that cheque. Why not? There's sufficient funds. He said, you know the rules of the army as I do. 3 cheques per month. But man, you know who I am? Yes, sir. He said, oh, I quite know who you are. I said, but you know the army rules. Change it on Monday without any bother. And he went, he wasn't happy. He wasn't a happy man. But that's And Jimmy Smith, he had as much British way as Hardin.
What kind of man was he?
Jimmy.
Where was he from and what was his style?
He came from London and he was a chartered accountant in Civil Street. He wasn't a regular soldier. And he was a field, he was in charge of the 47 Army Field Office. He married a girl in Switzerland and he built a bungalow in Switzerland. I don't think she was hard up, her parents. But Jimmy made enough money to build a bungalow in Switzerland.
And that was through his various schemes?
Various schemes and black market.
And what else do you think he was involved with? What else were you involved with?
Involved in selling and buying stuff. Buying it in Italy, flogging it in Austria. Changing the money through Jimmy, through the bank.
Did he never show any fear about... obviously, there was a... You had a...
Oh, there was always the chance that we would get caught. But there was that much black market. And one of our other officers who went out with us was the Special Investigation Branch officer. He was a captain, same as Jimmy. And he was a bloody daft as Jimmy. He wouldn't have investigated us.
What was he called?
Because they called him Michael Hazeltine. Same as Tarzan. And he never remember. We was once coming home from a booze. We'd been out drinking. And the men were working on the tram tracks. And this guy was a Special Investigation Branch officer. He went up to one of these fellas and he was burning. With a selling burn, So he took it off him, walked a bit further up the track, and he burnt about a foot out of the bloody track. And carried it through him. Just because the cuffs were bloody drunk. So then the blokes would have to get a bit more track and then put it back in. But it was a draft of London.
What was he actively investigating then as a member of this?
He was just stationed in Trieste as a Special Relations Branch. He wasn't doing anything in particular at that moment.
Did he tell you what he was involved with?
He was just there. That was his job. He did investigations. If anybody complained about it. See, if we say that £200 we paid out extra, one of our officers were paid. If that end had turned up, then he would have been investigating that. But actually, it came back to us. We were doing that.
Now,
if there was an accident with army vehicles involving civilians, he investigated that on behalf of the army.
Now, you mentioned that you would go out, for a night out with Jimmy Smith, an officer and NCOs together, and that wasn't frowned on. So at this stage, after the war, there weren't any officers-only kind of places, or was there still?
He was into the officers' bar. He was that well known in the... If you upset Jimmy, he wasn't only before he upset you because he controlled your pay. Didn't matter how much money you had in England, you had to cash your cheques through our bank. And if Jimmy said you can't have it, you can't have it.
Did you get on with him?
Oh, everybody got on with him, really. He was a nice enough chap.
What was your feelings about this black market at this stage?
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
You never had any kind of reservations?
No. We were all fighting that and get caught, but I mean, we didn't.
And then
I signed up to join the army.
Could you describe that?
Well,
the reasoning behind that?
Well, I was having a good time. I was getting letters from home and things was just the same at home. I was working at Steelworks and my brother had just left the army and he said, you're stuck where you are, you're having a better time than we are. And so I signed on for another 7 years. And then we'd had a trip into Austria and we took a RMC camp in the medical corps out with us. And he bought some cocaine or something in Italy and brought into in Austria and brought into Italy. He brought it from a dentist or something in Austria. And then we got work in the RSV, the Special Investigation Branch, that he was being investigated. He wrote a magnificent jewel bracelet while he was it, and that's what set him on to him. It was a lot more money than he could have had legally. So Jimmy got to know that this other officer was investigating him. So he told him, because the officers lived in a big hotel, the same place. And he went to the interview and he was dead, he'd taken an overdose. And I thought, oh no, we're going to be a bit awkward here. Because they knew that Jimmy and him were friends, and they knew, well, that Special Investigation Branch officer knew who was his friends, yeah? So I thought, oh well, let's get out of this. So I went down to the bank, and as soon as he told me, I went into the bank and threw all my papers up. Although they'd been signed by Jimmy, and was ready for dispatch to Rome. And I was supposed to be coming home on not leave, whatever they called it, leave. But I stopped in Germany, in Trieste, and finished my time, and came home and aged service group 44.
Now, before we get on to that, so this REMC man, he was trying to smuggle this drug back to...
He did smuggle it back.
And... So there was actually a drug trade even at this...
Well, that's the only case I heard about it, where he did that.
And in terms of... Was Jimmy Smith affected by this inquiry?
No, he shut down all the pricing for anything then. He tells us, get you, what money you've got, spend it. I could go into a shop and buy some... I did this anyway for me. Buy some silk stockings. I bought some silk stockings, two alarm clocks, a little fancy clock, and you could send parcels home and you don't have to say what was in them and the value. Well, I didn't send any parcels home all the time I'd been there, so I was all right. And I sent them home and I spent what money I had.
So did that put the end to Jimmy Smith's scheme?
Yeah, he did for the time being, anyway. Oh, we used to have a kitty for buying cakes for coffee time. And I just nicely got to him and I got a letter from Harry. You know, and then at the bottom he put, P.S. Where's the bloody fund? That's my that as well.
Now...
What did they call Harry? I don't know. I'm terrible at names.
Now, you were saying off the tape you learned to drive when you were in Italy.
I did, yeah.
But that wasn't official army.
No, it wasn't official. It was Harry teaching me to drive.
Could you just explain that?
We had a 1500 weight truck. And Harry said, I'll teach you to bloody drive. It's easy enough. It's only common sense driving, he used to say. So we got this 1500 weight truck out one afternoon. Jimmy knew how he was teaching me to drive, right? And one afternoon, he gets his truck out, and then Harry started, he pushed it. And he said, now, first thing I'll tell you before we start, if you stole this bloody thing, you go out and push. So he took me out into the outside trees, into the country, so there, the sort of thing, and I was driving it about, and I got so I could drive it really well. And he said, one bad habit. If you was in second gear, it was 10 to 4 out of second gear. You would just drop the gear stick when you was running free. So I used to say, now, whatever you do, keep the bubble in gear. So we come to this big hill in Trieste, and it was something like Lincoln. It was a very steep hill, and at the bottom was a policeman in a barrel conducting traffic. And I said, change down. Oh, she did it, yeah. I've told you before, change down. So I changed down, but it dropped into second and fell out of gear altogether. And I just couldn't get it back into gear. And I was going down this hill and was, put your bloody brakes on, couldn't change down anymore, and she wouldn't hold it with brakes. It wasn't in really condition, this area. And he went straight down the hill, and I can see him now. That policeman saw us coming, and he jumped out the barrel and run across the road out of the bloody way. I hit the barrel, and the bloody hoops went one way, and the bit stabs went the other way, and I said, keep going, don't stop.
But you eventually learned to drive.
I did. But I never got the green card.
What's the green card?
Well, if you learned to drive while you're in the army, you could get your officer to sign a green card to state that you could drive and you passed the adequate driving test in the army. You didn't have to have a driving test in this country.
And you never did that?
No, I forgot to get a green card. Although I passed my driving test without any bother. I passed it the night of Corps took it.
Now, any other memories of your time in Trieste? What was going on at this?
Well, I met my brother.
You describe that?
And I went to Vienna. From Trieste.
I'll describe the meeting with your brother, because he was still in the army.
He was still in the army this time. And he was in Vienna. No, but he was in Venice. He was in Venice and I was in Trieste.
And he was in the Royal Engineers.
So I arranged for some leave for me to go to Venice. By this time I'd been made up to sergeant. My brother was a corporal, a lance corporal in the RE's. So when I get to his billets in Venice, I'm a sergeant, and he's a other one, so I'm not allowed into his mess, obviously. So I took my stripes off, went into his mess hall. We had a good day out, we went out in Venice, you travel on boats most of the time. And while I was in Venice, I'd arranged to sleep with the pay sergeant in Venice, just into his billets, because there was a private billets. And I'd taken the tapes down. Actually, I was wearing a jacket without tapes on. So I couldn't stick any tapes on when I come back to these bloody billets, which was Sergeant's Willis. And the bloody sergeant, he knew I was, but he wouldn't let me in because I had no tapes up. So it was all done in daft fun, but I just got outside.
What was the situation in Venice compared to Trieste and Rome?
There was a laugh. Everything was, the army was in charge of everything, boats. The only boats that was not belonged to, there was motor boats, what the RE's had. And they went to all the different islands, whether there was a China factory on one island. But they was in charge. And then we used to go to the Churchill Club on the main island. We used to go to St. Mark's Platz. Because I was on leave, you see, so my brother was looking after me, giving me a good time. I was out with his mates, they didn't seem to have a lot to do. I also took him a lot of some clothing, because while I was in Rome, in Trieste as a sergeant, I was acting as a quartermaster. And we had access to, we just indented for what we want. If we wanted socks or boots, we just indented for it. And there was never any check on how many we got.
Was that a contrast with your wartime experiences of quartermasters?
Quartermaster was very, you had to be tight as a quartermaster in wartime.
Why was there no checks in this post-war period on you? Why do you think that was?
It was a small unit. 4 or 5 men, 2 sergeants, 2 RMC drivers. It was just the 4 of us.
And Ockman, Jimmy Smith, your officer?
Well, we didn't indent for them. They did, but they bought their stuff because they got a lot of clothing allowance, sort of thing, didn't they? A uniform allowance. But us 2 sergeants and 1 2 drivers, we could indent for. let's face it, we use the common sense. We didn't indent for four pair of books this week and another four next week. But what were we indented for, we got without any bother.
Were you tempted to trade any of this stuff with the locals?
It wasn't worth it.
Why was that?
Because it was down an issue. It was traceable back. If an ITAR got picked up wearing a pair of army boots, by say the special investigation branch, there wasn't no way to go from.
What about problems of, you mentioned earlier that, theft of the tyres and so on.
Down in Rome. The same thing happened in Trieste.
Could you describe that?
There was a convoy set up. Where they were going to, I don't know. But one day, Jimmy sent for Dave and said, you know, so and so. And this bloke had also an idea, a Swiss girl. No, he didn't know the night time, you know. I said, yeah, what about him? Well, he said, he went out with about 15 trucks, he's come out without a bugger. Sold them all. He's plugged the buggers to the Yugos. Yeah, he hasn't. He said, he knew what it is. Anyway, he found the edit plugged within all 15 wagons. And he came back and he went to Clevenford jail later on. He was court martialed, but they never got any money what he got from him. And he matched the driver's back.
And that was just a brazen sale of.
He knew what he was doing. He was giving back enough money to. I don't know how many wagons he sold, but it must have been quite a bit of money. Because you could. Harry had a little sideline. Harry was the senior driver, but Harry was staying. Harry would fill up the Umber at the petrol point. If he was really hard up, and he'd maybe drive 2 or 3 miles away and sell off the petrol. Just put a, he had a special pipe which he carried with him, shove it down, and fill the can. The jerry can. Well, the jerry can, what, about 5 gallon, I think. You plug it. There was a lot of people did that. It was because it started at the top as much as it was at the bottom. It wasn't just officers was doing it. Sergeants was doing it.
What about so that what you think went quite high up in there?
I'm sure it did. The black market was terrific. I mean, the stuff that was bought in Italy and flooded in Austria, there was more than us doing it.
Mm. What other things would be transferred across the border then?
Well, we didn't transfer petrol or all like that. Petrol was sold locally. And Harry always checked to make sure that his tyres and everything was secure. Jimmy and I was once out in the 1500 weights. Jimmy was driving. And we got into a bit of a riot. The Yugoslavs in the ITAs. I think at one time of day, Italy, Trieste belonged to the Yugoslavs. And then it was transferred to Italy. And the Yugoslavs said it was theirs. So they used to get. If it was a Yugoslav holiday, you could bet there was some bit of trouble. And if it was an ITAI holiday, they'd be the same. There'd be riots. And me and Jimmy's coming back to walk to the main office. The main bank, and we're running to the riot. There was hundreds and hundreds of bloody ITAs, and they come round the wagon and the 1500 weight, and he was knocking it and bloody hitting on the glass, and Jimmy said, "Get your bloody revolver out and sit tight. The police will be here to clean." And there was special police in Trieste. I think they call them the Venezia Julian or Julian Venezia Police Force. There was cracks loading the force. Well, they come and clear them away. And he said, "I know they won't be bloody handy. I don't like these guys." Puts the car into gear and they were stuck down to the bloody boxes. Weren't any back wheels. They'd taken them off while we were setting the bloody wagon. They'd finish anyway. Well, you could understand it. I mean, there was maybe 100 people around us rattling on the bloody and knocking on the windows, you know, pulling faces at us and shaking the bloody wagon, and we took the bloody wheels after that. It was on to a boxing.
Now, you'd said earlier that you're having such a good time in the army in Trieste that you thought you were better off there than what you'd be back in England.
Yeah, I thought I would.
What was the morale like in Italy with amongst the British troops that you knew?
Oh, it was marvellous. Everybody was well off. I mean, the lads coming out from England to Trieste, it was a different world to them. They were coming into a country where the British Army was in charge. They were in charge in every way. If you come to cross the street in Italy, the traffic policeman would be conducting traffic and he would put his hand up like that to stop pedestrians going across the road. But if 4 or 5 squaddies walked up, they walked straight across the road and they had to stop the traffic. But the ITA civilian wouldn't have done that because they would have, I don't know, shocked them, whatever he did to them. If there was soldiers, they'd just walked across the road and said to them, "Would we do?"
And what was the local people's attitude towards the British Army at this time?
It was really hard. In this big hotel, it was full of Signal Corps. And at night time, there'd maybe be half a dozen or a dozen women come in, prostitutes, and someone would go into each room and maybe go with 3 or 4 blokes and finish it with 4 bars of chocolate. Or maybe 20 cigarettes. And every so often, sergeants had to go around with the paddy wagon. They used to pick up prostitutes at street corners and take them to the medical centre for examination. And if it was all right, they was allowed out. If they had any BD, they was kept in. And we used to go with Big Paula, Little Paula, Jenny. And we used to sit and play cards with them. And you'd be playing cards and drinking coffee. We used to go in a special little cafe. Me, Alan and Steve. Me, Steve and Dunes. We used to go in there with these 3 or 4 prostitutes. And we'd be playing cards or talking or... They used to play battleships. We'd be playing that and all of a sudden one of them got something. 2 minutes. And they'd go out and with a squaddy. Then a couple of minutes later they're back and they've earned it. And that's the only time we ever had any trouble was Big Paula and Little Paula fell about out. And it was going to take Steve home because he was abnormally rigged, and they did the fall out about him.
So you actually became friends with some of these women?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
And what kind of women were they? I mean, were they Italian?
Oh, they were Italian women, but the Italian women vary. The southern Italian women are a bit. The northern women are more. Well, they're smarter and I think better educated. I think it's the same as in England. South to north, there's a very difference in, well, there is in Italy. But it's reversed there. The south is the worst off and the north was the better off. And I'm a virgin at this time. I've never been with a woman. And I'm only a young man, 20, and I once said to Big Paula about going with her. And she said, "You don't want to go with me. You wait while you get home and get yourself a wife." Nearly all them women were married, but the husbands couldn't earn a living. There was the only way they could earn a living, prostitution.
And that was right.
General all over it, in Trieste. Well, it was in Rome, anyway.
Did you have any Americans in Trieste?
No.
Any other Allied troops?
I never met any.
What about the
there could have been, I mean, but we didn't. There was a...
What about other Commonwealth troops?
Quite a big showing of... Oh, we had answer there as well. ATS Guild, not it. Mapper Guild. There's quite a lot of Mapper Guild.